Okay, this is the post-game, post-season stuff right now. We're talking with Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff. And, Coach, you won the Battle of the Beasts on Thanksgiving, or the pseudo-Thanksgiving Day, and congratulations on an unbeaten season.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, kudos to the kids. They did a great job. We were very fortunate to get all of our games in, and to be able to win them is just a bonus on top of that.
Well, I understand you had a young man lead the way offensively rather than some of the seniors this time, although we have to give credit to all the seniors who helped out. But tell me a little bit about young Mr. Cronin.
Yeah, Connor just had a great game. You know, one of those, the stars were all aligned and whatnot, and he just, was phenomenal all day long. One of the things that doesn't come up in the stats is that he did an excellent job of just, making sure that if Swampscott was going to throw the ball, that he was going to be somewhere near it. You know, he was really a ball hawk all afternoon, and did a really nice job making sure that keeping everything in front of him, and just did a lot of really good things defensively, that don't make it into the papers. But the obvious stuff is, the opening kickoff, he ran back for, a touchdown. He caught a couple passes for a touchdown. He ran in a touchdown. He ended the game with an interception that he returned 97 or 98 yards for a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
So the game opened with the opening kickoff was him scoring, and the closing interception for a touchdown was him. And he had another interception on top of that, which was, he caught and immediately went to the ground. So really an impressive day.
You said the stars were aligned and stuff like that. And I'm thinking this now because we read a lot about kids who have spectacular days, running backs, passers, receivers, whatever. But you just said something, man. I mean, he just scored and did everything every which way you can do as a football player.
Yeah, I mean, except for maybe throwing a pass or kicking a field goal, he really did.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where you have someone that you use that term, he took over the game. He really did, because I thought we did a lot of things well defensively and offensively, but it really wasn't, the explosive plays all, were really another one where he didn't score was a throw to Connor. We threw a pass pattern that, we thought was going to really work well against some of the coverages that they do. And we ran it, we hardly ever run two plays in a row, and we ran it, and they were all over James Duty, who the week before had three catches. And, the offensive coordinator and I were just saying, let's run that again and just flip the two kids, because their focus all seems to be on that, on one guy. So I think, maybe part of it too, Connor being successful in some of the things he did had to do with, maybe just the way that they were playing James, and the success that James had the week before maybe helped Connor get open a little bit too. So there's a lot of weird things that go into it. Just a circumstance like that kind of just demonstrates that maybe some of it too was that, another team was focused in another area based on what they had seen the week before.
Well, that's the thing, what you coaches do. You see everything, and then you can put it in perspective. And I know, I can't remember, I think it was on Phil Stacey's article, but Connor, man, he gave nothing but praise to all of his teammates. So, Jim, you mentioned some of the guys, who sometimes don't get the headlines. You don't see what they do statistically, but you got to brag about some of your other kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of, one of the things that happened all afternoon was everything kind of came off of what George Percy did for us. George was just a battering ram. And so, it's kind of like you kept trying to do these different things to the left and to the right. But meanwhile, you're trying to keep the focus on the middle of the field. And so George kind of did that for us, that, as we're trying to figure out how we can get to this area of the field or that area of the field, you have George just running very, very hard, probably the hardest he ran all season, and just giving out punishment with every run. And you take a lot of punishment as a running back, and George really gave a lot of punishment. And I take nothing away from Swampscott. Those kids, they hit hard. They really, that probably was the best team that we played all year. The kids were tremendous, for Swampscott. They gave us everything that they had. But I think George, you know, it's got to be hard to have 200 and some odd pounds coming at you, you know, just hitting you on every single play to a point where eventually you don't really want to tackle him anymore. But I really need to point out that George was a big part of it. And then after that, you know, Josh Robertson did a great job running the offense. Our receivers did a good job, but none of it happens. You and I have talked about this before. You know, none of it happens without the line doing their job. And our linemen did a really good job all night long.
All right. This is going to seem like a weird question, but, are you disappointed that the season isn't continuing? And I say that because of the team that you have, of the way the league has been so competitive. But on the other hand, you have so much, dare I say it, stress with COVID, with the fact that it's springtime, with the fact that seniors are getting ready to leave. So to me, it's sort of bittersweet. You had a perfect season, 7-0, but you can't continue it. So how do you balance that, Coach?
Yeah, there definitely is mixed feelings because I, you know, of course, you know, you feel like this was the year, you know, this could have been the year, you know, this could have been the year that we finally, you know, maybe got a ring. And unfortunately, we aren't able to get that chance. Melrose was, 6-0 this year. It would have really been nice to have gotten a chance to have played them,
mm-hmm.
And then gone from there. But, you know, we don't have a lot of control over that. So the flip side of it is, are we glad the season's over? Which is, you know, you never really want to say that, but I'm glad the COVID season, like we don't have to play COVID football anymore. That was difficult. That was, you know, that was a challenge. And I think everybody's kind of glad that's over because you're worried about so many different things that normally you don't have control over. You know, what happened to the different teams in different leagues where they were shut down for COVID reasons, whether someone actually had it or a group of kids tested and then later didn't test. Whatever it was, none of that stuff was in the coach's control. None of that stuff was any coach's fault. And yet they paid the price because they still showed up for work every day and wanted to coach a team, and the team wasn't there to be coached. And it's not the kids' fault either, because how many kids were raised to deal with national and international pandemics.
Yeah,
so
really.
But we're all, you know, the coaches, we're all control freaks. And the minute you give us a variable that we can't control, it's going to be a thorn in our side or be something that makes us uncomfortable. So it was an uncomfortable season. It was, you know, not to have so much more involvement with the principals and the athletic directors and the parents. And because of the fact that you've added this new variable, and again, I think for coaches, we're control freaks, and so I think part of us are probably glad that the season's over a little bit too.
Well, control freaks at the competitive level you're at, there's no doubt about that, Coach. Certainly, and that's what makes it go. That's what makes it work. And you've got, you know, you've got 22 kids out there at any one. Well, in practice, you probably have a hell of a lot more than that. So yeah, I get that, and that's a great point. When you look back at the season, and maybe talk with some other coaches, you're going to have some good, you especially at Marblehead are going to have some good memories. But all in all, Coach, across the board, across the entire North Shore, it seems to me the competition was most excellent. The kids were ready to play, and it sort of bodes well for the future.
Yeah, I think next year the Northeast Conference is going to be really good. There's a lot of teams that have taken big steps forward, and are going to probably look to have a very good season next year. I think everyone, you know, did some good things this year. Teams that struggled or had a difficult time, you know, some of that may be COVID related, and some of it was just that, you know, you're going to have down years. You know, you're going to have years that you're not going to have the same quality in players, or you may have lost a coach or two or something like that, and things that you can't control. But overall, you know, on the whole, the NEC is looking up, and we needed to too. You know, for all of our sakes, the league has to get better than it had been in kind of the mid part of the decade. And you know, a lot of that, you saw some of the success Marblehead had over the past decade. A lot of that is because the league got weaker, you know, and I'll recognize that. The years back when Winthrop and Gloucester were winning Super Bowls, You know, the league was extremely strong back then, you know, from one to 10 almost. And so, you know, we've had a little bit of a lull, and I really do think that a lot of the teams are starting to pick it up again. And with the new way that they're ranking the playoff systems, we need all of the teams in the league to be better. It doesn't help any of us to have weak teams in the league.
Great perspective. And I'm hoping, I'm doing guided imagery now. I'm learning that term. I'm seeing a Northeastern Conference representative, down at Gillette on the first Saturday in December. But that's a ways away. Coach, do you have any plans for celebration for your seniors? Because last year was such a mess. This year has been a little bit better. I understand as we're talking about pregame warm-up, you guys are back in school. So will there be some kind of a wrap-up to the season and something special for the seniors?
Yes, definitely. We just have to figure out what that's going to be. You know, as things start to open up a little bit, places that only a couple months ago were unavailable to be rented out for any type of function or meeting space is starting to open up again. We as a school have some decisions that we have to make around whether or not what's going to be allowed, what we can do as groups, how big the groups can be, whether they have to be in indoor or outdoor. So again, still very much affected by COVID, but no, this was definitely a special year for us. I think the amount of work that the seniors put into it, the time, the effort, the heartache, the heartbreak, all of those different things that went into trying to have a season last fall, having it stretch all the way out to this, that this was very special to go, you know, to go undefeated. Is really impressive that this group of kids was able to do that because of the amount of focus that it took to do it. You know, and we're only for the coaches, we're only the guys that we have for us. You know, I can be a genius if you give me the right 11 kids, but, if I don't have great players, then I'm no better than any other coach. And I think we all realize that. And so, this year was a real blessing of having, 11 to 45 really good football players and 11 to 45 kids that listened and worked really hard, you know, and just very fortunate as a program.
All right. That is Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff. They went 7-0 and won the league. And this is MSO News Sports.